What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ask Assist P. So my name is Ryan Williams, and this is a weekly episode of the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color have made it to the other side of the proverbial firewall. So speaking of which, returning guest, we have Kenneth Ellington. He is the founder of the Ellington Cyber Academy ECA. So we've had you on the show before. I think we said probably like 8 or 9 months ago. So it hasn't been quite a year, but it has been a little bit of time. So thank you. And we greatly appreciate you coming back to the show. We had a really good conversation. I'll make sure I put a link to that as well, where you kind of break down a really good recap of your background, your cybersecurity origin story, and all that good stuff. But if you could, you know, reintroduce yourself and just give us a brief, you know, background and what you currently have going on.
Sure thing. So my name is Kenneth Ellington. I've been a cybersecurity for almost 6 years now. I've worked from threat intelligence with software engineering to SIM engineering, and now I'm a senior consultant at one of the Big Four accounting firms. I actually own my own company called Ellington Cyber Academy. What Ryan said, we do SIM and SOAR training for professionals. We do government contracting as well for federal and state local businesses.
That's awesome. That's very concise. You can tell you're seasoned, right? Like, I've been seeing you on different podcasts over the past few weeks. I'm just like, yeah, this dude's good. So I was like, I have to make sure I come with my A game. So recently you were on a podcast. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I definitely hit you guys up with a shout out. What was the gentleman's name?
Juwan?
Yes. Yep, that was the one. Yeah, so it was a really good episode. I definitely want to tag him as well. Like, he's doing some big things. I really appreciate his podcast. But with that being said, so it's been 8 or 9 months. I remember the lead-in to having you on the show was that you kind of projected, or like, in the next, you know, I'm not sure what the time frame was, but you're like, I'm going to be on Spice Podcast. And I was like, ooh, me, pick me. come to the other side of the firewall, right? So we had you on, and we had a really good conversation. And a lot has changed when it comes to not just cybersecurity, right, but just the integrations of cybersecurity with artificial intelligence and all that. So I definitely want to have you on the show because you are my subject matter expert when it comes to all things SIM and SOAR. And I wanted to pick your brain on it. So again, thank you for coming to the show. So before we jump into that, between the last time we spoke and now, have there been any new initiatives when it comes to ECA that you would like to cover?
Well, lots changed, lots happened since then.
Gotcha.
So I guess over the past 6-9 months, we became official partners with SentinelOne. Okay. The ACR leader of me. We become official partners for Swamp. And we're trying to do more government contracting as well. So that's in the works as well. Oh, that, and we're also setting up much more courses as well. So we're coming out with a vulnerability management course, and at this month, beginning of May.
Okay, no, awesome. And so, yeah, so those are really big names. You said SentinelOne as well as Splunk. With that being said, so again, you've been in the business for a while now. But I think last time I talked to you, I was like, man, your pace is crazy. Like, you're accelerating super fast, and it's not because you don't have a robust product. Like, you have a very robust product. You're doing a lot of education in this space. Like, what are some of those key ingredients to doing, kind of not to replicate what you're doing, but to do it at a pace that makes sense and continue to grow and be as robust as your academy is?
I would say testing, getting feedback from our customers is super important. Because I don't want to make a product that just serves my purpose, right? It doesn't matter. I'm here to serve my customers and my clients, or whatever they want to learn and whatever they want to do. So we try to bring towards our academy, right? So primarily that's been SIMS or FCI solutions. And I've had a lot of apps to do more Jira training as well. So we're going to work for doing that for some of our students. I've also been asked to do some web training. Because for my job, that's the backbone of a lot of what I do. If you understand fundamental Linux, concepts, how to run a command line, how to create files, how to make changes to set up the Linux operating system, how the operating system actually works at its core. It's very hard to be a Splunk engineer because at the core, Splunk is data analytics on top of Linux systems administration. So understanding those fundamental skills are super important. So we're in the process of probably, you know, workshop with that to get students to better understand that as well. I would say another thing is having the proper support group around you. From my perspective, having proper business coaches, business advisors, having other instructors help me out so I can focus on some more bigger business things, growing a business, is another big thing that I've had to learn over the past couple of years is super beneficial.
No, that's awesome. And that's the key takeaway when it comes to having that good support net, having people we can talk to that can mentor you and then can also bounce ideas off. So no, that's great that you brought that up. Before we bounce off the topic, I definitely want to cover. So you said you guys are you know, pretty heavy into Splunk. How was that partnership or that integration between Splunk and Cisco? Has that changed anything for you? Has it provided you new opportunities?
So we've been monitoring that pretty closely. I'm praying Cisco doesn't F it up for their integration with it. But from what I've heard, more likely they're going to see Splunk as is, and they'll just do smaller and bigger integration with it eventually. But they still going to leave the core product basically the same. We're just going to try to enhance it. Because normally when firms spend that much money to basically buy out a company, they don't normally make too many ground sweeping changes towards the product. They kind of leave it the same. In terms of prayer for was like when Splunk bought out Phantom, right? Which was a sore company, right? They completely redid the product, right? Completely retained it because it was a smaller company. So they had the leverage to do that. In this case, I don't think that's going to happen. More than likely, they're going to keep the product basically the same. They'll make some changes, right? I know they want to integrate some of Splunk's security capabilities instead of other Cisco products. But at the core, I think it should be good. We're still going to hedge our bets. That's why we have all that purchase coming out. And we're trying to get other partnerships as well. So we're not just completely pigeonholed and Splunk. Which we're not right now, but we're going to be expanding out as well from that perspective.
That makes sense. That's pretty smart to not put all your eggs in one basket. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't believe they're making any sweeping changes. If anything, it may be some rebranding. But like you said, if you already have a product that works and you're willing to spend that type of money on, you're not going to make any humongous changes with it. The reason I bring it up, though, not only because it's something that you're working with, but I was reminded I had a picture from a cyber summit that was in Huntsville, Alabama, that I went to a conference down there, and it was the day they announced the partnership or merger or integration or whatever you want to call it. And the Cisco booth and the Splunk booth were kind of facing each other. And it was kind of funny to me because as it was being announced, like I'm not sure one or two of them probably, you know, kind of had the tea leaves or knew, but for the most part, they kind of just stared at each other and kind of like just waved. I was like, that's hilarious. Like, you know, it's breaking in real time. So no, that's great. And I'm glad that you could share that with us, especially, you know, when it comes to the future of ECA. So kind of moving forward, but not too forward. What does the AI integration look like when it comes to SIM and SOAR, and what have you kind of been seeing or things that have been kind of interesting to you? Because I'm real pro AI. I took a whole 180. Like earlier on in the podcast, people probably heard me say I was kind of slow to it. I didn't really want to mess with it too much. I'm still only dabbling, but it has made me more efficient. It has brought things to the podcast that I did not even know I could do so easily. And I'm just fascinated to see its adoption. So I just want to know kind of what do you think is going to happen in the near future?
It's been really interesting. I actually interviewed Paul Alto last month for an XCM position, which is like their next-gen SIM platform with AI inside of it. So I did some research for it while I was interviewing for the position. There's a lot of really cool capabilities that I can do for just like automating a lot of the mundane tasks and just sit them through basic data. That's not hard for the analyst to do, but it's like really boring, really mundane. I think people make mistakes. There's a lot of cool capabilities that I can do with it. We've also been using ChatGPT for some of our posts. So we'll have ChatGPT create the outline for it, and I'll basically fill in with my content. It doesn't sound like a robot. I'm talking basically. My biggest concern is twofold. From perspective, like data privacy, like how much data is OpenAI actually collecting from us? Because I don't trust big tech companies because they are very profit driven. And then secondfold would be, it's very resource intensive to run a lot of these data models, right? And a lot of these servers that have AI inside of it, right? So how are we going to account for that from a climate perspective? Is one of the big concern. Same thing with like crypto mining. It's insanely resource intensive. We won't have the proper infrastructure to do that, I guess, safely without using fossil fuels. I'm curious about how that's going to go about in the future.
No, that's definitely a perspective I didn't think about. It does take a lot of power to run these things. So it brings up two things to mind. Thing number one, I believe it's actually Tuesday's episode. So this will be in the future, but when we're recording this, the week of April Fool's Day, right? April 1st is today that we're actually recording this, but it won't go out until the following week. We have a episode devoted to the federal government. I guess the House Committee isn't allowing their pages and their representatives to use ChatGPT right now. Like, they're working with Microsoft to make it more, I guess, to put up some safeguards, and they're just concerned about, like you said, privacy. They don't want the larger model to be absorbing or ingesting, draft reports and things of that nature, things that it's just are not ready for public release. So we kind of talk about it and speculate. Actually, it's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. It's the Wednesday discussion episode. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a concern. Like, for me, I can care less, because I'm not doing anything that's classified or necessarily IP-based, right? All my stuff is posts, for the most part. Like, I use it to help me, like you said, make outlines for my social media posts, to help me with SEO, right? Because I'm terrible at tags and things of that nature, so it spits those out for me. But it allows me to do things I would have to contract someone to do, really small jobs, monotonous jobs, like you said. And I could just, I'm a one-man army at this point, right? I'm a solo preneur, for lack of a better term. So it does all the mundane tasks and knocks those out. So it's good to see that can be adopted as well. So for my background, I did work in a SOC. It was not called that. It was called the Network Operations Center for the Air Force. And the same thing, like, staring at alerts all day makes you not that efficient. We call it a Skittle chart. It will pop up with all the different colors and uses it. Like, you try to not ignore things, but it's overwhelming. You have 500 devices. There's so many traps. And it can be, like you said, monotonous. You miss things. So that's cool to see that it's being adopted in that fashion. So, all right, moving forward, when it comes to the academy and kind of the projects you have coming forward, is there anything that we should be looking for in the near future that you guys are going to roll out?
I'd probably say it's been a lookout for those other courses I've mentioned earlier, like the vulnerability managed one. We're trying to get a threat intelligence person or lead to do our threat intelligence course. That's in the works as well. That, and then a SOC management one. So I like to be running and managing SOC for more managerial professionals. I want to take that on for their careers. So those are some of the things we'll be doing in the next couple months.
Okay. No, that's great. So if someone wanted to register or to at least know what classes are being provided and how to sign up, where would you point them to?
I can point them towards a site, which I think you should have the link for that. You can probably put it, I guess, in the LinkedIn post. Mm-hmm. Either that, or you can direct back towards me, any one of my staff members on LinkedIn or Twitter, or the posted YouTube channel as well. All information will be there.
Gotcha. And is there like an open enrollment time, or is there like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a semester, but what is the term? I'm drawing
cohort?
Yes, cohort. Thank you.
So we have a rolling onboarding period right now. So normally we onboard at the end or beginning of the year. We normally deliver a couple of students per month. I tell people to sign up whenever they can. If you're ready, give the money, sign up for it. The longer you wait, the more expensive it gets. So we're increasing our prices at the end of this week. So it'll go up another $250,
gotcha.
Basically. So if you're able to sign up for it now, I would highly suggest sign up for it now before it gets more expensive.
Okay. No, I mean, that's a great tip to let people know. So I remember from our previous conversation when you went into your cyber origin story and kind of how you got started within cyber, it had to do with local grocer, there you go, called Publix. So you said that you worked at Publix and there was an opportunity that would present itself, and you kind of moved into the help desk and up from there into cybersecurity. Are there any tips that you would like to push out to new members of our audience? So we're expanding, we're getting new people, and it's always you get a similar question, right? How do I break into cyber? How do I jump in? So based upon your previous experience and then what's currently happening, what would be a good avenue, so to speak, to get into cybersecurity?
I would say probably networking. And twofold, from a networking light computer networking. Because the networking is the backbone of how our systems work. The networking operating systems is super important. A lot of people like to skip it because it's kind of boring sometimes. But you can't get to the NBA if you don't know how to dribble both hands. Right? So if you skip those steps, you're not going to be a good NBA player. So same concept. Right? If you don't understand networking or operating systems, it's very hard for you to successfully succeed in cybersecurity. And then from the human side of networking, who knows you is insanely important. So the more people that actually know your story, what you're interested in, what you want to do inside this field, the better shot you have at actually winning a role inside of this field. They'll be able to speak on your behalf, bring that inside of the room. So tell people what you want to do, why you want to do it, right? Don't be afraid. Worst thing that will happen more than likely is they'll just ignore you, right? This happened to me still, so just put yourself out there.
No, I think those are two good pivot points to breaking into cyber. And I'm biased as well. Right? I'm a networking guy by trade. So in the Air Force, called a cyber transport. So, it's those stepping blocks. I did help desk work, learned how systems work. But ultimately, it was about switching and routing. It's like, how does data move from point A to point B? Recently, I actually allowed my CCNA to lapse. I didn't have the time to engage with it when it was coming to its expiration date. And I'm starting to have more, not necessarily free time, but I'm starting to have time to study, right? So I'm focused on cloud and I'm focused on cloud security. However, I do see myself pivoting back into networking. With that being said, are there any specifics when it comes to what people should start? Like, I would say Net Plus, right? Like, get your Net Plus, maybe work towards your CCNA, things of that nature. But I'm old school. Like, I got those things back in the early aughts. Like, so where would you send people now if they're looking to break into networking?
Probably those two, Net Plus and CCNA. If you want to do, like, SIM SOAR engineering, probably start out with Splunk. That's the most spikeware kind of one. I would say 90% of Fortune 100 companies use it. So if you work for a super big company like Citibank, Bank of America, Truist, any one of the big companies, basically, they're going to use it, right? So I'd probably get Smart Core user, Smart Power user to start off, whatever vendor they use.
Gotcha. No, that's good. And then I would say Net Plus is still solid. I got my Net Plus and Security Plus around the same time because the Department of Defense didn't know which way they were going to go, right? Like, get both. And surprisingly, being a network guy, I did better on Security Plus than I did Network Plus because I came in, I'd studied hard for Security Plus thinking like, okay, this is going to be a problem. And I didn't really bother. I was like, I do this on a daily basis. And I took the test and I was like, oh, I'm about to fail Net Plus. I passed them both, but it was dangerous. I believe is the same as you. Like, networking is the backbone when it comes to how information is structured and how it goes from point A to point B and all that good stuff. And then with all the new initiatives like IPv6 migration and things of that nature, like you should know how a network functions and operates for the inevitable switch over to IPv6 whenever that happens. We've been talking about that since I was in tech school, right? That's 20 years. 22 years ago. They're like, yeah, we're going to be moving over. And I'm starting to see the federal government push forward and probably the Department of Defense as well, even though I'm not in that space. So with that being said, right, so we're talking about the future state of networking and cybersecurity and all that good stuff. Where do you see the biggest bang for your buck? Like, what should people be focused on when it comes to, okay, this is where we're headed. This is what's going to make us more secure. Like, it's kind of a nebulous question, but I kind of want to pick your brain. Like, what do you think is that next evolution when it comes to cybersecurity and information technology?
That's a good question. I'd probably say AI, and then it's a big thing that's going to be happening, right? It's happening right now. So I know AI security is a big growing field that's going to be super prevalent. As more and more of these applications to integrate with cloud technology, say, I think understanding how AI works is going to be super beneficial for a lot of people. Again, don't read the fundamentals, right? Like, networking will enable top brand systems. But if you want, I think, to get an advanced skill, if that's a niche you want to go down to, then that's a good option for you as well. I feel like Simon's War Engineering, because every company I've ever worked for has had both, or at least have one of them.
Right.
That's a big area that a lot of people don't know how to properly use. Everyone says they know how to use it, then I ask them how to use Spock, and they can't, so they may take questions for me. So if you're able to do a couple of those things, then you'll help stick out compared to other people. Biggest thing I would say is pick one path, stay down it for a little bit, then pivot if you want to pivot. Because the other people that want to learn, they want to do AI, they want to do security, they want to be data science, they want to do software engineering, they want to do cloud engineering. I'm like, hey, man, you got to pick one, or you can't learn everything at once. That's not how it works. I've tried that, you'll fail. So you have to pick one area, start with that, and then move around from there, which you get decently good at it.
No, I completely agree. And yes, I do see a lot of people who are trying to do it. Like, it's like spinning multiple plates. They're like, because they don't quite know what they want to do. And I'm always like, well, what are you passionate about? Like, what do you currently know or do that you can apply to, you know, to whatever field you're looking at? So I'm always biased. I always say GRC, because everybody needs policy. Everybody needs to know their frameworks and things of that nature. But you bring up a good point. Every company does have a SIM-SOAR solution. And you name the biggest ones. Like when I was in the Department of Defense, we had some kind of niche ones as well. Like your WhatsApp Golds, your SolarWinds, not really. SolarWinds is not really niche, but your WhatsApp Golds, your Cacti, and SolarWinds was a big one as well. And I did see Splunk, but it wasn't as prevalent. But I believe it was starting to take over, because we had all these one-offs, and it was kind of confusing. Because once somebody got really good at it and they left, there'd be a big gap. It's like, how does any of this work? Right? Oh, my SolarWinds guy left. So who's going to set up these alerts? Like, how does that work? So no, that's good. That's good. That's good to see that there is a, not necessarily to say path, but like a bucket. It's like, hey, if you're interested in these things, try SIM-SOAR, and then maybe Splunk would be the flavor of the day. If you're interested in GRC, hey, you know, start to figure out like what frameworks you want to pursue. Like, is it going to be PCI DSS? Is it going to be your NIST CSFs, things of that nature? High trust if you want to go medical. So there's a multitude of avenues and ways to get in. And then you have the people who are, I want to be a pen tester, or I want to be a software designer. So huge amount of avenues, but like you said, you have to pick a path. Like, I want to do this. So when it comes to AI, are there any specific courses you've been looking at? Because I know NVIDIA has a bunch of free ones that have just popped up, which I just now saw, and I'm kind of interested in, but I've been pursuing the PMIs, generative AI for project managers. I've been looking at those right now, because it's just, it's, for me, it's helpful to pursue AI in something that you already know. Right, the bridges are hard to jump over. Right, the gap or the delta isn't that far because I already know this thing, and now I want to put this on top of it or integrate it between the two. But is there any specific training that you've run into? You're like, no, this is pretty good stuff.
I know Paul also has a lot of good ones because they have anybody that's had a backstory and Etsy. And I guess there's two folds, right? If you want to like learn how to design algorithm, and then like or learning models, I think you have like a PhD in like statistics or mathematics, maybe math or something like that, which I'm not smart enough to do that. Or I don't want to do the work for it because it's too much work. But if you want to learn how to actually understand and use it, then you can get courses like that. I tell people there are two different paths. Right? You can be like an actual AI engineer, design, but not really. You do really, really good at math and stats. Which I am not.
Yeah, it's not me.
I don't want to do that.
What's the other path? Because I can't do that one.
Yeah, so for security, I think Paul also has some pretty good ones. That's unless you didn't say doing this well. That might be a good route if you want to go down that path. Plus, Paul also is a really big company in neuroscience security people. That, and then from my overall perspective, the people ask me, like, hey, what should I do? What path should I go inside down for cybersecurity? Either ask me that or what security path can get paid the most, right? And I'm like, hey, I'm like, that's fine. We make a lot of money. That's perfectly fine. I'm just saying, if you don't have any other interest or desire beyond the money, once you hit a certain amount, you'll stop learning. You don't really like it or enjoy it. It'll be very mundane and boring, and you'll probably get kicked out eventually. but someone that actually wants to learn more about it will get ahead of you, basically. So be careful about that.
Yeah, it's not like, what is it? If you follow your passion, the money will follow, I believe is, I'm butchering the analogy. But yeah, I always tell people as well, you have to enjoy it. Like whatever path you pick, like you don't want it, like I don't want to be a pen tester. Like I find it fascinating. But then when I try to do like a hack the box or something like that, I'm like, I'm not feeling this at all. But then on the flip side, right, I'm a GRC advocate, but I know for a lot of people, like, I don't feel like reading all day, all night. Like, it's boring to me. So you have to kind of figure out, like, what am I passionate about, like you said. And then from there, like, there's plenty of money in this industry. Like, once you're great at something, it's twofold. The money will follow you, but so will the work.
So yes,
you will be bogged down with both. So, you know, you have all the money, you can't spend it because you're hitting the books, but it is what it is. You have to pick your poison. But no, I think all the above is good information. So before we move on to the everything else, right, because I always like to talk to people I find fascinating within the industry and then find out pick their brain. I'm like, what else do you do outside of this, right? And then you find out some wild stuff, or you find a kinship. You're like, yeah, I like that too. But before we get there, is there anything that, because I know you've been on a lot of podcasts and you're becoming a real professional at it. Is there anything that has not been asked of you? Like, are there any questions you're like, man, I wish somebody would ask me this question, or man, I wish I could have elaborated on this more in my last session? Like, is there anything that has been left on the table, basically?
I've been asked this a couple of times, and people don't always ask this. I guess the question would be, what would I have done if I wasn't cybersecurity?
That's a good question. What would you have done if you weren't in cybersecurity?
How would win tech corner become a chef?
Okay. So wait a minute. I think it feels like we've been here before. Because I was surprised before. Yeah. I think I asked you the question. And so at least your what's the word I'm looking for? I've been dying all day today. You're consistent. Because I believe you said that before. And I was like, really? So why culinary? Like, why does that fascinate you?
One, to me, it's very relaxing to be able to cook for people. I like to eat, right? So understanding how to make good food and how to use high-quality ingredients has always been super interesting to me. I guess, like, for me, it's like, I use the creative part of my brain, try different recipes and see what tastes good and what tastes like complete dog crap, which is another thing that's interesting to me. I've enjoyed cooking since I've been a young teenager, so probably like 10, 11 years old. I went to culinary classes, all the culinary school. I was in high school. I was only doing it when I went to college. But my dad's like, my dad's Jamaican immigrant. So he's like, hey, Kenneth, he's like, if you want to go to culinary school, that's fine, but you need to go to business school first.
Right.
That's your thing. And I did. I did my undergrad in business before I switched towards MIS and cybersecurity. And I found out how much work chefs have to do to run the business and how much money they make for it.
Right.
I'm like, this isn't going to cut it for me. I haven't found a lifestyle I want to live, and that wasn't a poor opportunity. I'm sure I'll hook myself. And then that's why I went down the cybersecurity route, basically.
No, that makes sense. So I find it fascinating. Just people who like cooking, because we are polar opposites. I find cooking stressful. I do not enjoy it. I'm not good at it whatsoever. Like, my wife loves cooking. I watch Food Network with her all the time, right? It wouldn't translate. She'll watch Food Network, or she'll pick up a recipe, and then she's able to mimic it or experiment with it, make it better. Like, she enjoys it. She enjoys making food and feeding people. I do it only because I want to be helpful. Like, I do all the ground beef stuff. Like, if it's, I'll do taco night, I'll do spaghetti, I'll do, maybe I've done lasagna, not great, but I do things that are fairly simple, because for me, when I look at ingredients, when I enter a supermarket, like, legitimately, I feel like I'm dyslexic. It's just a bunch of stuff. None of it equals food. And I'm just like, how do people's
opposite
brains do that? They like
the
they look
opposite
at things, they're like, oh, I can make this, I can make that.
It's fun. It's really fun doing that.
I just never had it in me. I don't know. Like, and it may be because I didn't grow up cooking. So I didn't have to legitimately cook for myself ever. I went from my mom's house to the military, and then I got married. So I always had someone to keep me from starving. And then I would make ramen noodles or something, like, you know, something easy. I'm not throwing the microwave. And I never developed that passion, and I never exercised that muscle, I guess you should say.
No, I learned to cook when I was really young. But apparently, somebody would like, I'm like, I'll make this better. And it's like, all right, third, all right, make it, Cam. That's all I did. So maybe, but like, I go to the supermarket, I see all these ingredients, I'm like, oh, like, I can try this, I can make this.
Oh, man, I have a list. My wife sometimes she sends me the aisle with a picture, and I just like get in, get out as quickly as possible. But no, so that's fascinating. But yes, I do believe we did cover that last time. So I'm glad you are consistent. Like you didn't say something crazy like, yeah, I want to be a pilot. I'm like, I
know. Hey, fine.
What? So that's awesome. So moving on to the everything else, right? What are you doing to unwind? Are you into movies, books, anime? Like what's your thing?
I do boxing, kickboxing. Okay. I go towards it 4 to 5 times a week.
Oh, wow.
I've been to go towards it as much over the past couple of weeks. I've been busy with the business and then some of the best we've been running. But normally like 4 to 5 times a week, and I normally go Fridays and Sundays with sparring sessions. So it's so much fun. I'm not gonna lie. It takes a lot of you to get punched in the face and kick in the stomach, but it's like a mental hurdle you have to get over. It's not that bad once that shit happens. But it's like mentally being prepared for it. It's just a big concern. But after a while, you need to switch it. But like physically training your body, learning how to control yourself in that manner, it's like super cool and super empowering.
Yeah.
But Tom was one of my instructors yesterday as well. Actually, Saturday, I took her. We all went towards dinner, so remember that we were talking about it, right? And it is like really, really fun, really enjoyable. Because I've been doing this for the past almost 3 years now, I believe. And I'm so much better than I was back then. I still feel like I'm absolutely complete crap. So my first class when I went, I did strength training, so I was like really big and muscular. I didn't have really good fire stamina.
Gotcha.
So, that's like a 5-minute warm off. After the warm off, I don't know if that was a warm, but like, all right, like, time for class. I'm like, time for class. I'm like, I'm sweating. I can barely breathe. I'm like, laid out on the mat. I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't do this. I'm like, I'm about to die. But like, can't. Like, it's 41 minutes of class left. I'm like, what? I can't do this. I was so out of shape. I felt disgusting. I thought it felt for the first 2 weeks. People jumping up and down, kicking the bag, doing the various roundhouses. I'm just like tripping over my feet and really bunch the bag. I mean, I can't do this. I have to look around. I'm like, why isn't everyone dying like me? Like, I don't understand. After all, I'll get better. I promise.
No, that's awesome. So I've never done kickboxing before. I always said I wanted to learn how to box, not because I want to get punched. Right? I just want the exercise out of it. Like you said, like it's nothing comparable. Like people were like, oh, you know, I hoop every day. I'm in good shape. Like, you're in a certain type of shape. But when I tried out jiu-jitsu. So I did that for like a couple weeks, like not serious. Like I was like, I want to try something different. I want to get in better shape. And I learned very quickly, I don't like being that close to people. So I'm big on personal space, but I didn't realize how much there was no space. I mean, I'm talking about like people were sweating on you. Like you're like grappling and like people's beards are like scratching the side of your face. And I was just like, I'm so done with this. So I think I lasted 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and I was like, I am done. So I would pick up something like boxing though, because like cardio shape, it'll put me in a much better place. But also there's distance. Like you don't grapple in boxing. But you may in kickboxing, I don't know. Like in kickboxing, I know you punch and you kick. But is there any ground sparring or grappling?
Never over here.
Okay. See, I would get down with that, but I'm kind of old, so I don't know if I could punch and kick without throwing something out. I don't think I got that in me. But no, that's awesome that you've been doing it for as long as you have, and that like that has to give you a not it has to be a confidence booster as well. Not to say that you couldn't handle yourself before, but to be able to handle yourself and be proficient in like an actual fighting style, right? Like that has to be also a boost, like to your confidence. Like I don't foresee myself getting into a fight, but if it goes down, you're like, I can handle.
It's really interesting. It is, because sometimes I think I'm like, I'm not that great. I see people that have never boxed before come in and try to throw a punch. I'm like, oh my God, these are terrible people. I'm like, God, I'm like, why punching? They're doing like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's not a punch. Because it's like, some people have never been in a fight, you know, or don't properly know how to fight. It's like, learn the proper techniques and how to control your body and get the most power out of what muscle mass and what weight class you're in. It's like super cool.
Right.
And to see people that have never done it before, I'm like laughing in my head. I'm like, if people have never like been in a fight before, they look how like how they hit the bag and how they kick. They're like winding up their fist like a Popeye to throw an uppercut. I'm like, what are you doing? They can't do it in a fight. Or like throwing their shoulders out. I'm like you're gonna dislocate your tumor.
Right.
Or correct your rotator cuff. Those are like really interesting.
Yeah, I have to think that that's pretty cool. Because fighting is a science, right? I'm not like, I'm a lover, not a fighter. So I don't have any of that down. But in seeing people who have studied it, who have a passion for it, and seeing them actually do what they do, you're like, man, like this is something I would like to aspire to. But again, I don't want to get punched. You got to take a punch and know how to, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. You'll get punched, you'll get kicked. And I told you about my experience with jiu-jitsu. I was like, no. Like, if I get, if somebody takes me down to the ground, it's over. I don't want to hug you and flip you and it's too much. But no, that's pretty cool. So aside from, you know, the kickboxing and things of that nature, any movies or games or anything, or books that you read?
I've been playing games live nuts. I'm always so busy. That's not a good thing I could do a lot. But anime, I was actually before I got on the call watching on Spy Family. I'm in season 2 now.
Okay, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm in season 2.
I saw Path Kids so much. That, my favorite anime is My Hero Academia, which season 7 comes out, again, 6 weeks. Then 5 or 6 weeks, which I'm so excited for. It looks so good. I've seen the trailers for it. I'm so excited for everyone to fight each other out.
Okay.
The season 6, that was the best season. Like, that first half, like, every episode was so intense. I absolutely loved it.
Gotcha.
Shigaraki got out of powers, and like, why did they make him so broken? He touched it. Wait a second, I've seen season 6?
So I haven't started it yet, so I'm good. I don't know any of the names or anything. So my son keeps trying to put me on to My Hero and Jujutsu Kaisen.
Kaisen, yeah.
So I watched one episode so far, and I'm like, this is pretty good. Like, I can get really down with this. But yeah, anything new, my son or my daughter will put me on. And I'm always trying to put them on to the old stuff, right? Like, stuff I grew up on. The Ninja Scrolls and the... Full Metals and things of that nature, right? The older Yu Yu Hakusho, things like that, right? Old anime, like...
I watched Full Metal, I thought that old.
It's not, but it's... So there's Brotherhood and then there's the original, right?
I've seen both. Yeah. I like Brotherhood better.
Okay, yeah, right. It's much better, in my opinion as well. But that was before anime was, like, mainstream, really. Like, you had your DBZs and things of that nature, but you didn't really have, like...
It's really weird. So when I was growing up, if you watched anime, people thought you were weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, you watched Naruto, like, what the hell is that? Oh, you just, we're talking about Saigon. What the hell is wrong with you, Ken? You're a weirdo. I do it at elementary school, everyone's looking like, life is a little black kid. Like, what is he doing? But now if you don't watch anime, you're weird. Like,
right.
You don't watch My Hero, you don't watch Attack on Titan, what's wrong with you? So it's, like, really cool how, like, the counterculture stuff that we used to do now is mainstream. But the thing, most people I know watch anime. If you don't watch it, I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Right. As I say, for me, I'm a little bit older. Right? So for me, it's about 50-50. So, now anyone who's younger than me, like, they've been exposed to it. It was like their Saturday morning cartoons. It was on Cartoon Network. Like, when I was growing up, it was one bookcase at Blockbuster. or a seedy looking comic book store selling VHSs. That was the only way you're getting anime. And then over the years, yeah, it's Sci-Fi Channel, Cartoon Network, Toonami, right?
Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it blew up. So it's good. I'm happy to see it, but now I can't keep up. Like before, there was like handful of anime. Like yeah, in Japan there was like, you know, they're running it 24/7. But here in the States, we're only getting a handful. Like now, every time I log into Crunchyroll, there's something I've like, what is that? Like I've missed this, or I didn't see that, or you know, you have those one-offs that's like one season versus like you said, My Hero is like on season 6. One Piece is probably like on season 99. I don't even know. I'm never going to start it. My son is like, he's caught up in real time. I'm just like, yeah, I can't catch up to you. It's not going, it's like 1,000 episodes. It's not going to happen. Like no chance. But no, that's good. That's good to hear. So like outside of work, you know, you have ways to unwind and things of that nature. So like you probably get along with, one of our original co-hosts was, LaVon Maynard. So he's, MMA guy as well. Right? He works for, you know, $1 trillion company as a cloud engineer, but in his off time he you know, he beats people up, so, and he loves it. He's the friendliest guy possible too, so like to see him have to, you know, like do his thing in the ring is like two different people. like he's so nice, and then now he's punching somebody. You're like, oh well. Everybody has their outlets, right? So no, that's awesome. But no, again, I greatly appreciate getting you back on the show. We'll definitely have to make sure it's not almost a year next time we have you on. If you ever have any initiatives or anything you want to push along, please send them my way. And I'll definitely broadcast those things, because what you're doing is amazing. Like, and to have someone in your specific, I want to say, what's the word I'm looking for? Your specific lane. When it comes to Soren Sim, you're definitely my subject matter expert. So I always like to have people where I can just like, let me ask Kenneth this question. Or, you know, if it's like CMMC, I got a couple people. Let me ask Derridge or Jacob Hill or Chris Abercrombie. Like, I know people in areas, which is awesome, especially when I get questions. Like, you know, people want to come into cybersecurity. I can talk about the GRC space. I can talk about networking. But, like, well, you need to reach out to Kenneth if you want to talk about this. Reach out to, you know, Darius or Darren, or, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So it's good to have this network. Like, just like you said, it's good to know people because they provide you a lot of value, as long as you provide them a lot of value, which I hope I do, right? Like, again, if you have any initiatives you want to push or anything like that, please send them my way, because I definitely want to continue to see your business grow, and then, you know, just keep popping in from time to time. Like, what are you doing now? I'm like, well, you know, we're a $1 trillion company, so well, I'm not on my G6. You know, I'm out here with my private island. But yeah, okay. I see you. But no, again, in all seriousness, thank you for your time. Please continue to tune in. So Thursday is our Ask a CISP episode of the week. But Monday, Tuesday, topics. Wednesday, discussion. Fridays, everything else. Movies, books, games, all that stuff. We've expanded. We're multimedia now. So every episode gets an article, and those articles get rolled up into our newsletter that drops every Friday called The Weekly Rundown. And we're, you know, doing plus good numbers. Like, I like to see that people are interested in what we do and able to, you know, obtain value from it. So I'm definitely glad you came to the show. You definitely bring in a valuable perspective. And if people want to reach out to you to learn more, where should they go, Kenneth?
Please go to our site. We're trying to fix our domain, which is the entire process for some odd reason. But let's go to our site on my LinkedIn profile, or you can go to Alta Cyber Academy on LinkedIn as well. Our site information will be on there as well, or our YouTube channel, again, ECA or Alta Cyber Academy. And we'll have that information for you guys.
Absolutely. And we'll make sure to put all those things in the description. You hit me up personally. I'm at RyRy Security Guy. That's RyRy Security Guy. You can find me a lot of places now. Clubhouse, LinkedIn, Twitter, IG, the company account on TikTok until that eventually goes away. And then Instagram and Medium. So find our articles on LinkedIn, find them on Medium. And then all the websites that go by our name, either the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, or Ask a CISP. Stay safe, stay secure.